You are now listening to the Hot Take Podcast, brought to you by Full Time Fantasy. Here are your hosts, Stephen Taroni and Josh Daly. Time to make it hot.
Welcome to the show. This is the Hot Take Podcast. And I am excited to bring you another episode, guys. It is the off-season 2020 still, and it is crazy times, obviously, going on with COVID-19, and there's a lot of repercussions for that. So in these times, we really want to give you some good fantasy football content and give you, you know, just something to feel good about. I'm joined by my co-host, Josh Daly. What is going on, Josh? How are you feeling tonight?
Hey, man, feeling good. Just feeling, you know, kind of fortunate in the light of current events. So, you know, excited to talk some football and kind of get a little escape from kind of what's going on out there right now.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, as of last week when we recorded our show, what we were going to do this week was just talk about, hey, like free agent, wide receivers, you know, go through it. So much news has come out since then, my friend. And this is going to be a great show. Tom Brady is officially a Buccaneer. DeAndre Hopkins is an Arizona Cardinal. There's a lot to get into today, guys. So I'm really excited to talk about the free agency. And not only the free agency, but the trades. That's what we were talking about, the trades that are going on here. That's what makes it extra crazy this time around.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a special guest on the show today, Marcus Grant of the NFL Network, NFL Media, and then Fantasy Live. What is going on, my friend?
Oh, not much, man. Hanging out, just we're sheltering in place, like you know, which is our new normal nowadays, right? We're all just trying to get through this thing together.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I mean, I was just saying, like, I was looking at Twitter, I was looking on your page, and I noticed, I'm like, where is he? That's not the studio. That doesn't look familiar to me.
No, that was the balcony of my apartment is where that was.
It's nice that you have a good team that threw together the nice little video over it. I mean, it's still like a typical, like, you know, little bit by you, except you just don't have like the normal surroundings.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've been good. We've all been, you know, thank goodness for technology, right? Between Slack, right, and email and you know, text message, we've all kind of been keeping up on stuff. So it's been, you know, me and Adam Rank and Michael Fabiano and the whole crew and, you know, our producers, our social media folk, we've all been trying to, like, you know, piece this thing together. Look, the NFL is still open for business, so that means we got to be open for business too.
Exactly. You know, and it's funny, like the fantasy industry is kind of, you know, not affected as much, right? I mean, we rely on technology. All the tech people are able to go. I mean, businesses that rely on tech and a lot of fantasy or just, you know, sports in general these days is relying on that. So, you know, all is good in that realm. Marcus, you know, I met you last year at the actually it was at a Buffalo Wild Wings. I don't know if you remember that.
That
the King's Classic that you were there for, and then I came for the Midwest Fantasy Football Expo in Canton, Ohio, which if you guys don't know about it, you know, in Canton there's going to be an expo. We had a great audience that were fielding questions. Myself was up there for a mock draft and just answering all sorts of questions about fantasy football. So yeah, that was a cool thing. So I don't know if you remember, Marcus, but my wife, so she comes up to me, my wife Summer, love her to death. She comes out there and just is bored to death for fantasy football stuff, right? She comes with me to this fantasy football expo. And she says, you know, she's like, oh, I think I'm going to take a selfie with Marcus Grant over there. And I was like, you know, I don't know if you should bother him. I mean, he's kind of just chilling. Like, you were hanging out. Like, we were all having beers. I was like, don't bother him. So I go off. I do whatever. I come back. I talk to her. She's like, hey. So I did it. I was like, gah. So she went over. She took a picture with you. And you were nice enough to take a picture with her. So I appreciate you for that, my friend.
It was totally cool. No, absolutely. It was a lot of fun. I was just there, just hanging out. Like I said, like, it's funny. We've done the King's Classic 2 years in a row, and it has sort of become the tradition now to, like, after we do the draft, we go and we invade Buffalo Wild Wings and we shut the place down. And so, like, it's cool. Like, and you know what? Shout out to Brad Evans and Bob Long for putting that thing together and sort of turning it now into a networking event, because it's been a lot of fun the first couple years we've done it. So it is. It's fun to meet a lot of people that I only know via Twitter and social media. And so, like, yeah. Also, like, you know, real talk, like, I don't get a lot of folks walking up to me asking if they can take a selfie. So it's kind of fun. So it's totally cool.
That's what's up, man. Yeah. We had some good conversation over there, and yeah, it was really interesting, Josh. We're in a bar, literally, like Mark said, we took over the whole thing of just, you look around and it's everybody you know from Twitter. I mean, it was crazy, like, talking to these people in person. Let's talk about, so first of all, before we get into all this fantasy stuff, Marcus, you're a superhero fan. You're a Marvel guy. Last time you were on the show, I asked you, what is your favorite superhero?
Right.
Standard question, you know, run-of-the-mill question. I think you said Spider-Man?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So now I want to ask you a little bit more of a complex question here. Who would you fight of any Marvel character in, let's say, the MCU? Who would you want to fight? It could be a superhero or a villain.
My first thought is, it's probably Hawkeye. Right? Like,
okay.
He doesn't have any superpowers. He just has, like, bows and arrows. Like, if I can just hide out and, like, you know, wait for him to, like, he has a bow and arrow. It's not even a boomerang. It doesn't come back to him. He shoots it and, like, that's it. So, like, right. When he runs out, like, all right, then it's like hand-to-hand combat, basically. Like, you don't need powers. You're just a dude. Like, so, like, I think he'd be the, like, everybody else has some kind of power or special suit or something like that. Like, Hawkeye is just a dude who happens to be good at shooting bows and arrows. That's it.
Right. That's a good point. Okay. So you went strategy there. You were like, I want to fight somebody who's like kind of weak, who I know that I can get, like, take advantage of.
He's a jag. He's just a guy, you know, it's not like I'm fighting, you know, it's not Iron Man. Like, the dude's got weapons and stuff. Like,
right. So he's like the Dante Moncrief of the Avengers. Like, he's just a guy, you know,
just a guy.
That's what I tried to tell everyone last year about Dante Moncrief when they were super excited about him anyway. Josh, I'll throw the same question at you, man. I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but, you know, who would you fight if it was, you know, any Marvel character?
Oh man, that's a great question. I think I would just probably go for Cyclops, just cause I used to like, he's X-Men, right?
He's X-Men, yeah. But that's Marvel. Okay. It's still Marvel.
Okay. Still Marvel. Still counts.
Well, I mean, you know, I used to, I had to wear glasses at a young age, and I considered that kind of a crappy situation. So maybe I can, like, sneak up on the dude that's got the bad vision or whatnot. But
yeah.
I just kind of got to stay out of the way of the laser beam action. And that, maybe I'll be good. But I love Marcus's answer, dude. I think that's like best answer for sure.
Now as a Marvel savant, you know that Hawkeye turns into Ronin. You know that, right?
Yes, I do know that.
Okay, so you probably wouldn't want to fight him.
No, I don't want to fight Ronin. I want to fight Hawkeye.
Right. Yes, definitely a difference there. So not just another guy, not a Dante Moncrief or a Hawkeye, is Tom Brady, guys. Tom Brady, it started to come out, you know, last week we were speculating, actually a couple weeks ago, Josh, we were talking about the Chargers, man. We were talking about, hey, it makes sense, you know, go to LA, go to that new stadium, bring in the people. You know, you're going to be, you know, replacing Phillip Rivers with Tom Brady. It just seemed to make sense. It seemed to align. No, he is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and it is pretty shocking. But we have to talk about this from a fantasy perspective. Josh, I'll toss it up to you, and then the same question to Marcus. What does this do for the receivers for Tampa Bay to start? What does it do for Mike Evans and Chris Godwin?
Oh boy, I mean, it does a lot. You know, I'm a lot of people want to talk about the more aggressive downfield nature of Bruce Arians' passing offense, and that could be a good mix with Brady, and not necessarily because he has a good deep ball. I mean, I think in years, you know, the recent years, you could say maybe he's lost a touch off that deep ball. But what I feel like he does bring to the table is he's extremely accurate, and I feel like that's only going to improve the catch rate for both Godwin's and Evans. And let's not forget, they both have Brate and O.J. Howard. You know, that O.J. Howard for David Johnson trade never went through like we thought it should have. But, you know, I mean, they're going to be able to move the sticks more. And, of course, he brings, you know, just an absolute ton of experience. And I think the most important thing, though, is better decision making. I mean, with less turnovers, I mean, I think that's just going to equate to more touchdowns for these guys. I mean, just if the ball's coming at him more, you know, and it's not as high of a chance of it getting picked off like we've seen with some of the riskier decision making in the past from Jameis, I just feel like it's going to give him an uptick across all boards, you know, even the touchdown category.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And Marcus, what would you say to that?
I mean, yes and no. I sort of wonder because, look, Jameis was great for the YOLO ball, right? Like, he would just throw one up and just didn't really care.
YOLO.
Right. And I've always said, like, you don't have to have a productive quarterback in order to have a productive wide receiver. So, you know, the one thing I worry about with Brady is, can he continue to get the ball downfield consistently? Plus, if he is more efficient, part of what made Jameis a good fantasy quarterback, or at least a, you know, respectable fantasy quarterback last year, was because he threw so many interceptions and they were playing so far from behind that he had to keep throwing the football. If Brady is efficient, yes, that will move the ball down the field. That will help generate some points. But I don't know that the Bucs will be as high scoring of a team if Brady is just protecting the football, moving it down the field. And I'm not saying that Godwin and Evans fall off a cliff, but we may see them come back a little bit. We may see more shorter throws. We may see more kind of underneath stuff, whether it's Ronald Jones getting involved in the passing game, whether it's more tight end stuff, whether it's more, Dare Ogunbowale out of the backfield. I don't know, but it's going to look different. I just think it's a different offense with Tom Brady there versus Jameis Winston, just because what we've seen out of Brady the last couple of years suggests that his ability to throw the deep ball isn't quite the same as it once was.
Yeah, so I think I'm more, not that you guys are disagreeing, because I think there's agreements in there, but I think I'm more on the Marcus side here. But what I did like that you said, Josh, is the efficiency could help the touchdowns. And I think that could be true for one of these guys, maybe. What I'm worried about the deep ball, and I'm also worried about the efficiency, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, because all of a sudden, the pass-catching running back is going to get a lot more targets, whoever that is. If it's Dare, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the last name right now. Can you do – Marcus, what is the last name again?
Ogunbowale.
Ogunbowale. Thank you. Appreciate it.
There you go. There you go.
So it looks like Peyton Barber's gone. I would imagine that they're not going to re-sign Peyton Barber, and I think that they're going to bring in somebody. And actually, a good friend of mine today, we were talking, he's a huge Titans fan, and he said, you know, bring Deion Lewis back with Tom Brady. That could be an option where Deion Lewis is now, you know, in a pass-catching situation, or they could bring in Melvin Gordon, you know. And that's – I'm kind of anticipating that, you know, they have a nice sell for him with Tom Brady being there. And you have to think that they're going to be a run-first team in that situation with Ronald Jones and, you know, X, whoever. I don't know what that's going to look like as far as how much they want to actually run the ball. Like, can you give Ronald Jones
right
250, 300 carries? I'm not seeing that happening.
Would you guys both agree that that's probably one of the reasons that we saw Jameis just chucking it up, you know, often last year? I mean, they just did not have a run game. And I feel like if they're able to get a run game this year, whether they do bring in Melvin Gordon or if they use, you know, the 14th pick or, a second rounder on a running back, they're going to have some options to fill that hole. And I think Brady being there does really help that in bringing someone in, as far as the free agency method. But I feel like if they did have a run game, it's just going to open this offense up, you know, even maybe not necessarily from, a volume standpoint, but
right.
I think the efficiency will definitely.
Well, and that's definitely where it's going to take a hit for Evans and Godwin is the volume. And maybe they still get, 120 targets apiece. But I'm not thinking anything more, and that would be great. I mean, 120 each would be fine. You're okay with that. But that's not going to be potential, wide receiver one kind of volume. And before, like with Jameis, you could see Godwin, obviously. I mean, where did he finish last year? Was it wide receiver one? I'm pretty sure he was up there. I don't think that's in the realm of possibilities anymore for these guys. So I think it does. They do take a hit, unfortunately. I think that you're going to be able to I am not really sure where they're going to land in drafts, but you might want to hesitate a little bit if you have to pay, an early second round pick for Chris Godwin right now.
Well, I think that's going to be the asking price right now, because, I mean, I'm sure he's going to come off the board early. I think I've seen even Mike Evans is right now still slotted somewhere between wide receiver 7 and wide receiver 10. So the asking price, maybe it calms down. I think right now everybody still has that sort of that fever of the newness of the whole thing.
Yes.
You know, because everybody – we always see this, right? Whenever there's a big move, everybody's value sort of spikes. And then as we kind of, you know, the fever sort of dies down and we start talking through it, it starts to level off a little bit. So maybe that does. But right now, you know, if you're doing mocks, if you're doing best ball leagues or whatever, that price is going to be pretty high at the moment.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think that you just can't expect, you know, the outcome of last year, because there's a lot of good that Jameis Winston gives you. With all the bad that he gives you for real life football, it can be very good for fantasy football. Now, the tight ends in Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard, I like this a lot for them. Even somebody like Scott Miller, who, if they can use him in a slot role, in a Julian Edelman role, all of a sudden, you know, he is an important part of this Tom Brady offense. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm thinking with this. I think that Evans and Godwin just take a little bit of a hit, where you might want to pick somebody else, like a Kenny Golladay, who we've talked about on this show, someone like that at this point, even maybe an Allen Robinson, where the targets are going to be funneled, and we know that. So, okay, so Marcus, you're not really dig in the Evans-Godwin outlook here. But what does this do for Tom Brady, who, you know, in recent years, you're drafting Tom Brady in double-digit rounds. At this point in time, you're probably still going to be able to do it. So what are you thinking about Tom Brady's outlook for 2020?
For me, I mean, I think he is still double-digit rounds here. I mean, this is more about the player. Like, at some point, we have to start drafting the player and stop drafting the name, right? Because Brady is efficient, and that's fine, and it is effective for actual football games. But, I mean, I think the years, the seasons of the guy who will go out and throw for 4,000 yards and get you, you know, 40 touchdowns, I just don't know that he's that guy. And, you know, I know people keep kind of comparing it to Peyton Manning in his last few seasons, and maybe that's accurate, where early in the year we saw Manning come out, but as the season wore on, as it got colder, then it wasn't, you know, he was a little bit, he struggled a little bit more. Right. I guess for Tom going to Tampa, you don't have to worry about snow games necessarily in December in your home stadium. That's not really going to be an issue for him so much. But I do just wonder whether or not he's going to be that guy that, you know, starts strong, sort of fades near the end, and is kind of more of a matchup-based guy. And I know it seems sacrilege to kind of say that because we're talking about Tom Brady, but I think when you talk about it in terms of production, dude, he's going to be 43 years old when the season starts, man.
Right.
He and I are about the same age. You know, he's going to be 43 when the season starts. And with quarterbacks, we've seen it. It's not a gradual decline. I mean, when it goes all the way, and it goes quickly. And you just wonder how much longer Brady can sort of dodge that bullet.
Josh, are you feeling the same way? I mean, yeah, I think eighth would be too early, eighth round. So let's say, you know, you're on the clock, and, you know, you haven't drafted the quarterback yet, and it's the 11th round. Are you going to draft Tom Brady, or is the upside just not there for you?
No, I mean, I agree with Marcus. I really don't have a whole lot to add. I still think he's a guy that's going in the double-digit rounds for sure, just outside of that top 10. I mean, the only thing I think that he offers is, you know, with the Godwin and the Evans talk, it, I mean, when those guys got injured, they were like number 2 and 3 in the league in receiving yards.
Oh, yeah. It's
just based on volume alone. And the only thing that I think, you know, Brady's decision making, like I mentioned previously, you know, from a fantasy aspect, you know, he's still that double digit round quarterback. I just think that the targets from Brady are a little more valuable than the targets from Winston, even though there's not going to be quite as many. So, I mean, I just feel like everything's kind of still at an even keel and kind of like a status quo from last year, Brady included.
I think that it's a positive for Brady. Like, you know, I think that what we hope for Brady this season is what happened with Carson Palmer with the Cardinals and Bruce Arians in his later years is, you know, he was a fantasy relevant quarterback. You could stream Carson Palmer. In fact, you could play Carson Palmer, you know, depending on the matchup. I think that's what's going to happen with Brady. I mean, we're going to have to look at the schedule like you do with, you know, if you're drafting late round QB, you look at the schedule. I mean, if you don't want to draft a quarterback, that even if you're thinking about streaming him, that you don't want to play in week one, right? You know, if they're playing, if they're in Minnesota week one and it's somebody you were going to stream, you probably don't want to draft that quarterback if you're thinking you want to play him week one. I think Brady is going to be a guy like that. I mean, there's going to be weeks where he's going to give you, you know, four touchdown weeks. It's just what's going to happen with great players like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You know, let's see what they do. They're not done yet making moves. And by the way, I have to read this because this just came in from Adam Schefter. Bucks and Tom Brady still trying to finalize the deal. So later he says, no problems foreseen with Bucks and Brady, but no deal yet. Just kind of ominous. You know, I could see the Bucks just like failing hard on this one. That would be epic. But as of right now, I think it's a plus for Tom Brady. You look at last year in the Patriots offense, talk about just like methodical, trying to, you know, run the ball, bring it up the field. That's not what Bruce Arians is going to do. It's a different style. He's going to be put in more situations where he can throw the ball downfield. So I like that alone from Brady. And I think that, you know, you can't ignore the weapons he has now. You know, he's never had receivers like this. Of course, he had Randy Moss, but multiple receivers like this. He's never really had that sort of talent around him. Let's move on for the sake of it. So let's talk about, so Nick Foles goes to the Chicago Bears. He was traded to the Bears today. I'm anticipating in a backup role. I think he's going to be like, you know, sniffing on the heels of Mitch Trubisky. Trubisky's on his last leg, as we've said on this show before. So Josh, you know, let's just talk about if Foles gets in there, let's say Trubisky, realistic scenario, after 5 weeks, just stinking it up, maybe 6 weeks, whatever it is, Foles comes in. Are you liking that from the, you know, the wide receivers of the Chicago Bears, like Allen Robinson, for instance?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it does give an uptick to that value. And it's funny that you said 5 weeks because, you know, in my head, as soon as I saw that this trade was going through, I thought that's how long the leash was going to be. You know, we're talking 4 to 6 weeks max.
Right.
And if Trubisky doesn't get it done, I mean, man, they have no choice. We've repeatedly talked about how frustrated Matt Nagy was, visibly frustrated on the sidelines last year. And bringing in somebody like Nick Foles, I think he's more proven. I mean, he throws one, speaking of deep balls, he throws one of the prettiest deep balls and just, you know, right, drops that bad boy in there. And I would love the prospects of Allen Robinson just from that alone. And I mean, I thought it was really interesting that he like almost instantly, you know, restructured his deal and it kind of made it both more player friendly and more franchise friendly, which I thought was solid for both sides. So it definitely seems to be, you know, getting started on the right foot there in Chicago.
Yeah. And they signed Jimmy Graham as well in Chicago. And for some reason they have 8 tight ends currently on the roster, including Trey Burton, a former dynasty darling who, man, I don't even know if he's on the team going into this year. I mean, it is crazy the drop we've seen with Trey Burton. A very unfortunate, and I really blame a lot of it on Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky, really. I mean, I don't think that Trey Burton is as bad as his fall in Dynasty, in Fantasy, and in the NFL really is. But Marcus, talk to me about the Chicago Bears offense with Nick Foles. I mean, it has to be an improvement from Trubisky, right, as far as fantasy goes?
I mean, it's hard for it to get any worse. you know, I just really want good things for Allen Robinson, right? Like, mm-hmm. he deserves good things.
Poor guy.
And I guess this is better. Like, I mean, we're at the point, we're talking about Nick Foles is potentially the best quarterback he will have played with in his career.
Wow.
So I do think it's an upgrade. I don't know that I'd get super excited about it. I think, you know, look, I mean, I know we go back to what he did in the postseason with the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl, and then he had that incredible 27 touchdown, 2 interception season a few years ago. But, you know, throughout the rest of it, he's been fairly mediocre. And I think that is more of the Nick Foles that you're probably going to see. But again, it is better than probably what we're going to get out of Mitchell Trubisky. You know what's weird about Trubisky is that for whatever reason, he stopped running. You know, yeah. And I know Adam Rank, who is a, you know, inveterate Bears fan, talks about a game against the Vikings when he took a nasty hit from Harrison Smith and how maybe that sort of changed everything and you know, stopped him from running as much. But when he was getting out of the pocket and making plays happen that way with his legs, it seemed like he was a more effective quarterback. And so, like, I don't know if maybe they can convince him to kind of go back to that, and maybe that helps. But in the meantime, I kind of expect that Nick Foles is going to win this job. If it's not in camp, it'll be early in the season, in which case that gives us at least slightly more hope for some of the skill pieces around him.
Yeah, no, we really missed that 500-plus rushing yards from Mitch Trubisky last year, and that's what he did just two seasons ago. Yeah, some of that I think is Matt Nagy overthinking it. You know, I think that he really wanted a lot of complexities from his offense where, you know, you really can't do that all the time with a young quarterback, right? I mean, an unproven quarterback, a rookie running back. You know, he was doing a lot with what he had, and I think it was just too much. He needs to, like, dumb it down a little bit, and they will actually improve all around for fantasy, real life, whatever. But, yeah, I do foresee Nick Foles at some point playing this year, at which point, you know, yes, Allen Robinson plus. I don't know what to make of anyone else there. I think that Tariq Cohen is somebody who I think, you know, I want them to utilize a little bit more. So maybe we'll see that from Nick Foles. I guess I hesitate to say a more competent quarterback. So the Titans cut Delanie Walker. I'm excited, guys. It's Jonu time. And I posted on Twitter, you know, instead of the Vader, it's Vader time. It's Jonu time. And if I could get that music copyrighted, I would put it in here right now for this segment of Jonu. Josh, am I too excited about Jonu Smith being the guy in Tennessee, or am I right where I need to be?
No, dude. I mean, I saw this kind of coming here with the way that contract was set up. So I actually went out and got him in a couple of my dynasty leagues.
Nice.
In anticipation. And yeah, and I know you're high on Jonu. So it's I feel like this is a just opens up the door, kind of like we see, you know, in Carolina with Greg Olson moving on, you know, Ian Thomas now getting a chance there. So it's both of these young guys, you know, kind of the same in that vein where they both get a chance. But we've seen Jonu produce when he's been given the chance, not so much on Thomas. So I'm excited, man.
Yeah, the only thing, and then Marcus, I'll let you talk real quick about Jonu. The only thing, you know, what's great is he's out there for 80, 90% of snaps. You love that. And that's what it's going to be this season, unless they bring in somebody else, which would be unfortunate at that position. But he does do a lot of run blocking. Of course, this is a run team with Derrick Henry, but, you know, that's what they like to do. They like to bring him inside and add him as a blocker. Is that the case that you see, Marcus, that kind of, like, limits his fantasy ceiling?
Yeah, I mean, there's that. And the fact that even last year just didn't seem like Ryan Tannehill looked his way a whole lot.
Right.
You know, now we know Tannehill's going to be the guy. I mean, the thing that made Delanie Walker outstanding is that Marcus Mariota threw to him a lot. It seems like Tannehill wants to go downfield, which is why A.J. Brown is going to be super popular if he wasn't already. I like Jonu's ability. I just want Tannehill to throw him the ball a little bit more than he did last year.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. Like, I'm excited for Jonu, but I'm not going to draft him as such. Like, you know, I think that the ceiling for Jonu this year is that he's a top 10 tight end. Yeah, I think that – I don't know if – I mean, the tight end position is weird, so you could argue maybe he gets close to that top five. But, you know, I think that that's where you're going to draft him, and you're not going to have to pay much for him. So I think it's all going to be good, you know, especially if we're talking about redraft where, you know, you could probably get him still in the double-digit rounds. I think that if you can, you know, kind of see that where others don't, that's great. But you don't have to pay a lot for Jonu in redraft this year. I don't think that he's going to be, you know, he's going to be around that 11th, 12th round still. If you can, you know, kind of see that where others don't, that's great, but you don't have to pay a lot for Jonu in redraft this year. I don't think that he's going to be, you know, he's going to be around that 11th, 12th round still.
Yeah, so some big trade news, huh, guys? You know, Nuke Hopkins just apparently not seeing eye to eye with Bill O'Brien, right?
Oh, man, Bill O'Brien. What a guy.
Yeah, can you allow me to real briefly just go through some of the tumultuous trades that have been made in Bill Bryan's tenure?
Oh, please, if you will.
Okay, so We trade Nuke Hopkins, which just kind of made me want to go back and look here at some of the debacles and just other misfortunes that Texans fans have been put through here. And I'm not going to go back all the way to when he was hired in 2013, but in 2015, he had not only Case Keenum, but also Ryan Fitzpatrick on the roster. Both serviceable quarterbacks, would you agree?
Yeah, serviceable.
Right, serviceable. Well, let's go and let's trade both of those guys away in the same offseason, but we'll keep Ryan Mallett around. So then this opens the door for them to pay $72 million on a four-year deal for Brock Osweiler in 2016. They make one move outside of the awful $72 million deal, which is they traded up one spot to get Will Fuller. So, okay, that's okay. But that contract, my God.
Oh, my God. Brock, man. Jeez. Well,
you know, just we're what, a year removed now, and Bill O'Brien realizes how awful his decision was. So he has to literally give the Browns a second-round pick and only get back a fourth, just so they'll take Brock Osweiler off of his hands. And does anyone remember what that pick turned out to be?
It was
Nick Chubb.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wow.
You needed a running back. A running back. And so Nick Chubb goes off the board. They also decide to trade Dwayne Brown to the Seahawks because, well, another conflict with Bill O'Brien. You know, they don't want it. They don't want to do negotiating with Dwayne Brown, who's very loyal to that franchise. They did make up for it almost entirely by trading up 13 spots to land Deshaun Watson in the draft. Okay. So we're almost at an even keel now. We can
I would say even is fair. Cause they spent a lot of money.
Well, okay. So now that you have Deshaun Watson and your team looks like it's going to the playoff, you're going to go and trade a fourth round pick in an overpay to get a washed Demaryius Thomas.
Ugh.
And then you're going to follow it up next year by trading a third round pick for Duke Johnson. And then you're also going to trade Martinez Rankin to get Carlos Hyde. Now, you also end up trading Jadeveon Clowney, who gets bounced for a couple of backups and a third round pick. So essentially, you got back what you paid for your two running backs that you acquired for short term use, by the way, for a worse linebacker. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, man. It's like that he's kind of like in a battle with himself of like what he's trying to top himself every year. It's like, all right, I can get worse. I can do worse.
Well, he tried because he did send not only their first round pick this year, but also their first second round picks next year and two additional players for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. And we thought that the Demaryius Thomas trade was an overpay. Yeah, they got a couple of late round picks back here, but I mean, this was this was your move, that, and you trade a third round pick for Gary and Conley. So I don't know. Jury's probably still out on that one.
Bill O'Brien is like your crazy ex-girlfriend. And that keeps like threatening you with how crazy she can be. It's like, don't push me, or I'll go there. I'll do it. And it's like Bill O'Brien is kind of like doing that with the front office, and they're like, no, we get it. We know you will. And it's really bad, especially because so
we didn't even get a first rounder.
The Texans acquire, I guess you could say, they acquired David Johnson, right? And his big contract. So the Arizona Cardinals are out there looking for trades, and we're talking about it on the show. Hey, it's going to be tricky to move David Johnson. They might be stuck with him for a year. They might, you know, the Arizona Cardinals might have to eat that $10.2 million that they owed David Johnson, but they're looking for suitors. They want to find a trade. Maybe they can make it work. Oh, Bill O'Brien says, hold my beer. I will take on that contract, sir. And what, did they get a second round pick?
I mean, you didn't even get a first rounder. Like, I think
they didn't get a first rounder for it. Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't shop around. Like, and you would expect this from like a terrible franchise, but
these guys have been in the playoffs repeatedly and you just keep making your team worse. My God.
I can't stop thinking about like the fantasy implications of Nick Chubb with the Texans with Deshaun Watson. Oh boy.
Right.
That would be awesome. I mean, we talk about all the time, like a running quarterback. You want that running back. You wanted Lamar Miller when he was Deshaun Watson's running back. Oh my goodness. Nick Chubb. Woo. That would be some good stuff. But look, we have to talk about DeAndre Hopkins as an Arizona Cardinal now. And let's start with the quarterback, Marcus. What does this do for Kyler Murray?
Well, the Kyler Murray hype train was already rolling out of control, and it may just jump off the rails at this point. Because, you know, at the end of last season, a lot of us, myself included, were saying, if you're on the lookout for the next Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray is going to be that guy. So that was already pushing his draft value up. Now he's got DeAndre Hopkins to throw to. They've got Kenyon Drake in the backfield. You know, I like Christian Kirk. Larry Fitzgerald's still around for another year. We'll see what happens with guys like Andy Isabella and Keyshawn Johnson. If Hakeem Butler actually gets on the field, there are so many weapons there. Like the Kyler Murray hype train, you literally might have to reach into the fifth or sixth round to get Kyler Murray next year.
Right.
This thing is going to be insane by the time we get to July or August.
Yeah, and I will say that because of that, Kyler Murray is probably not going to be on any of my redraft teams after the draft. And, you know, that was the same logic I had going into last year was, man, I can't have Patrick Mahomes because I'm not going to pay for Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, that's the same thing that's going to happen this year with Lamar Jackson, because there's going to be people, you know, if in your single quarterback leagues that are going to draft Lamar Jackson in the first or second round. So, you know, you can do that if you want, but you know, I'm not going to do that. And I wouldn't advise doing it. So, Josh, are you thinking the same thing for Kyler Murray? Like, what is his outlook? I mean, with DeAndre Hopkins, like, what is his ceiling? Quarterback three?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I think people are going to draft that way, and I completely agree with you guys. It's going to definitely put him out of my price range, at least what I'm comfortable going after, you know, as far as redraft leagues are concerned. So I'll definitely be out on him, whereas I'll be more inclined to go after Nuke still, you know, like at the end of the first. Like, I don't think Nuke's value really decreases at all. I mean, they're very, very similar quarterbacks, and you know, if anything, I mean, I still think he'll get funneled about the same amount of targets, but I do think a slight decrease is definitely in the cards, just the way that spread offense is kind of set up. I think he'll see a slight dip in targets, but I just, in general, I still like the value for both, but Murray's going to be too pricey for me, man.
I think that, you know, what you guys are saying is pretty impactful for fantasy in that DeAndre kind of stays the same, where he's still, his outcome is wide receiver one, just like it would have been. But Kyler Murray, it ascends theoretically on paper. I mean, this is all systems go, especially when you consider Kenyon Drake is going to be running the show with some Chase Edmonds sprinkled in. I think still, like I said it last week, like now we know at least, okay, so Kenyon Drake is the guy. David Johnson is gone, but Chase Edmonds is still a guy you can draft at the end of your redraft leagues, you know, whatever the circumstance. Best ball, I think, is a great format for him because, you know, now he's just one injury away. I think he's still going to be worked in just like he was last year. So, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out, but I could see a scenario where, you know, Kenyon Drake, I mean, what he could be a late second round pick. Depending on how this goes, I mean, he could be a late second round pick in redraft. I don't know if he'll go that far, but you know, you could get a good value with Chase Edmonds. What is your outlook for Kenyon Drake right now, Marcus? Are you a Kenyon Drake guy?
I am, especially now that David Johnson's gone. I was sort of worried about what it might be with DJ still there, how much they might rotate in. But now that DJ's gone, I think Kenyon Drake is probably a low end running back one. What we saw out of him was great. He also was like incredibly efficient, which makes me wonder, like, can he do that again? But I think the opportunity, the production, the touches will be there for him to actually put up a really good season.
Yeah, no, I really like his outlook. I mean, not only in the running game, and we saw him be very effective in the rushing game, super efficient. And I don't think that you can expect the kind of numbers that you saw from Kenyon Drake last season. I think that, you know,
on the season extrapolated, you know, you have to see regression where he's going to have big games. This offense is explosive. But you have to love the passing game work that he's going to get in this offense. That is his skill set. He's a perfect fit for this system. Kenyon Drake, it's guns a-blazing for him. And, you know, if he was a late second round pick, I could see myself drafting him. It's going to be tough to make that decision, but, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. I think if he's mid third round, oh baby, I'm good with that. Give me some of Kenyon Drake. But again, Chase Edmonds, somebody to still keep your eye on. Super talented running back. We've seen him make the most out of his opportunities. Again, the offense is set up for a guy like Chase Edmonds as well. So just a name to consider. If you, Dynasty, get him. You know, go get him right now. I think that people are going to want to keep him, but you can maybe get lucky still with Chase Edmonds in Dynasty. I want to talk about the Houston Texans side of things. So let's talk about David Johnson. I mean, what are your expectations for David Johnson this year? You know, it feels like he's going to be like a fourth round pick, something like that. What are your expectations for DJ in 2020, Josh?
I think he's, you know, every year we kind of see like this little bunch of running backs kind of, they'll fall into like that early fourth round, mid fourth round group. And, you know, you're just talking about Kenyon Drake. I think people are going to start to doubt the workload and maybe he slips down into there. And I think maybe David Johnson with this change of scenery might kind of, they've all kind of might bunch up in like that early fourth round range. Right. I mean, there's continually value every year in that range of the draft when it comes to the running back position. So I feel like he's probably going to be one of those guys that ends up, you know, in that territory. I mean, it's just, he's got to prove himself no matter what, but it's going to be interesting for sure as far as like the immediate term in redraft.
I mean, Carlos Hyde was a 1,000-yard rusher last season. And, you know, with Deshaun Watson and this sort of offense, without DeAndre Hopkins, it's tough to say how, like, this offense is actually going to move without a stud wide receiver. Be very interesting. I see David Johnson being a top 15 guy and can easily get into that top 10. You know, we saw Hyde just have a good season with – basically no passing work at all. Duke Johnson took that role and he's still going to have that role. I think that, you know, it'll be interesting to see how many, you know, if they can use him in the passing game at all. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't think that he'll get the, you know, the lack of work that Carlos Hyde got. I think he will see a little bit more than that. Will you take a shot on David Johnson, Marcus? Do you still believe that there's talent there?
I think if he's healthy, I think there really could be something there. Now, I, you know, when we first saw the deal that he was traded, this is before we knew that DeAndre Hopkins was going back the other way. I thought, okay, if he's healthy and you've got DJ with Deshaun Watson and Nuke, I'm like, this could really be something. Right. Now that Hopkins isn't there, I'm less excited about it, but I still think there's opportunity for him there. If they are creative with him, I mean, sort of the way that Bruce Arians was. You know, maybe that's asking a lot out of Bill O'Brien. I don't know. But if they can move him around, they can use him as a wide receiver. They use him as a running back. They get him touches. They get him some targets. I do think there's potential for him to sort of have a bit of a rebound season there. But again, it all kind of hinges on him being healthy, because what we saw last year was not a healthy David Johnson. I think they rushed him back and he just looked slow and he looked like his back wasn't quite right. But if this time off has sort of helped him, I think he can kind of bounce back a little bit.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, you have to hope that, you know, if you're a David Johnson owner, if you draft him, you have to hope that Duke Johnson won't be used as much. Of course, if they don't bring in a stud wide receiver, there's a lot of targets available. And we could see those go to David Johnson in a full-time role with his team. Health, of course, is utmost importance. You know, when you're drafting him, you're going to have to factor that in. So that's just baked into David Johnson right now. I think that you have to see a realistic outcome, though. If he plays 16 games and he's healthy, he can be a top 10 back. You know, and you're not going to have to draft him as such. So it's either, you know, it's going to go maybe that way. You know, it can, or you know, he ends up being just, you know, a mid-tier RB2. I think that, you know, it's realistic that he could be in that top 10 range with this offense. You know, Marcus, what are you seeing for these wide receivers right now? Do you have any interest in these wide receivers?
I mean, Will Fuller, but obviously at the right price just because he has struggled to stay healthy. But, I mean, yeah, he's the one guy that, you know, Deshaun Watson seems to have had a connection with. I mean, they are good for a couple of big plays a game. It's just an issue of him staying on the field, but he's probably the only one that I'd have any real interest in.
I want them to trade up and go get CD Lamb. That's what I want them to do. I mean, they're not going to be able to get him.
Know that the Cardinals aren't going to draft Lamb anymore.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So they maybe trade up and get a, I mean, I think they're going to get one of these receivers, and that's going to be someone who you need to look at as potential fantasy value even this year, because they may draft a guy to work in as their wide receiver one for day one based on, you know, the front office wanting to look smart for getting rid of, I mean, all of the flack that they're getting, you know, how they want to be viewed as an organization. You know, they may, you know, just like they did with Deshaun Watson. That was a good point you brought up, Josh. That was like, okay, this is a makeup. We need to do this. We need to draft Deshaun Watson. They may do that with one of these receivers, and it's very deep this year. So they viewed that position as expendable. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of chips on the shoulder in Arizona as far as DeAndre Hopkins wanting to be, you know, successful, and the Texans organization wanting to move on and be successful too. So it's very interesting there all around for fantasy and in real life. Moving on, Stephon Diggs, he wanted out of Minnesota. I mean, it's unfortunate that he's turned into this kind of, you know, reputation as a wide receiver. You don't ever want to see it with somebody as polished at the wide receiver position as Stephon Diggs. Josh, this Bills offense is super exciting. Where are you seeing Stephon Diggs right now? Is this a hit for him, or is he, you know, is he ascend into a different tier?
I mean, honestly, I feel like, you know, with a lot of these questions that were thrown out here today, a lot of these values are kind of just staying the same for me. And really, it's the same for Diggs too. I mean, you know, the Vikings didn't pass it a ton the last couple of years. I mean, you know, and you know, I'll talk a little bit about Kevin Stefanski when we get to the Austin Hooper talk. But, you know, as far as the setup, though, you know, with Smokey Brown as the outside guy and Cole Beasley in the slot, I mean, he fits perfectly, you know, as the X receiver, you know, or the alpha, whatever you want to call him in this offense. And he definitely gives Allen some nice weapons. You know, I think his value essentially kind of stays the same in my opinion, but yeah, honestly, I think that it does definitely make Josh Allen a more valuable commodity.
Oh yeah. No, Josh Allen is getting a boost here with John Brown and Stephon Diggs on the other side. Is that safe to say, Marcus, is Josh Allen a guy who maybe we're talking about as one of these late round quarterbacks who has that top five capability?
Absolutely, he does. I mean, mostly because of his ability to run. I mean, that right, that more than anything, I think, has boosted him. I mean, I kept saying all last year that he was the Bills' preferred goal line back. It's sort of what we saw, you know, Cam Newton in a lot of ways, where he was the guy when they got inside the 5 yard line, generally he would take the ball and he would run it in, which if you had Jonathan Stewart or D'Angelo Williams, frustrated the hell out of you. The thing for Josh Allen is that eventually he does have to become a little bit more of an efficient, effective passer. But having another weapon like Stephon Diggs absolutely helps. I mean, we saw John Brown sort of come back to life again last year. And, you know, I'm sort of Josh. I think for Diggs, his value stays right about the same, but I think adding more weapons makes Josh Allen a little bit more attractive to a lot of people.
Well, it's like, you know, you mentioned earlier, Marcus, like one of the things that we really don't like that's kind of taken the shine off Trubisky is, you know, he doesn't run anymore. Josh Allen's still running, so his value is still great.
Yeah, no, and he is an athletic monster at the quarterback position, and he, you know, jumps over linebackers. He can shake. He has wiggle. So when he's in space, he can actually run. You know, John Brown, you guys talking about it, the resurgence of John Brown last season. You love to see it. 115 targets, career high for John Brown, and 72 catches, career high in yardage, 1,060 yards. Very similar season to his 2015. With the Cardinals. So now that's going to take a hit with Stephon Diggs. I think that both of these players can be around 90 to 110 targets apiece. And yeah, you definitely see a hit for Stephon Diggs. I think that he is going to end up in a range of like the sixth, seventh round, something like that. Or that's where I view him anyway. So if, you know, whatever, you know, if he's lower than that, then he's a value, whatever, you know. And that's kind of where I'm putting Stephon Diggs right now. And I think that he's actually one of the best receivers in the league. But it's just not going to work out. It's not a pass-first offense. They want to run the ball. They want to play defense in Buffalo. But they really can throw with Josh Allen. He has, you know, one of the best deep balls, or, well, at least he can throw the farthest or one of the farthest in the league. I don't know if it's the most accurate at that 58% for Josh Allen. You want to see that go up. And maybe it does go up with somebody like Stephon Diggs. So I think Josh Allen definitely has that top five potential. That's why I like, you know, somebody like him going into this year, where we're trying to like kind of identify that guy who can be, you know, that top five. Who do you want to draft that's going to be that ceiling play at the quarterback position? So moving on, so let's get into it, Josh. Austin Hooper to the Browns. So they are just adding to a list of talented pass catchers in Cleveland. And where do you see this going, Josh? You know, is Austin Hooper, is this, you know, should you draft him as if, you know, you were drafting him last season, or does he take a bump in the other direction?
You know, that's a good question. It's kind of like the opposite of Stephon Diggs. You know, Diggs is getting out of a Kevin Stefanski offense, so there's not as much, you know, three wide receiver sets, you know, going on. There's a lot more 12 personnel being ran, so that means a lot more tight ends. I feel like with him taking over the Browns, I mean, this is perfect because, you know, they're signing Hooper to come in and be that complement to David Njoku, and I feel like they're going to be on the field a ton. You know, when Stefanski took over the Vikings in 2018, you know, he was the OC. And I mean, they went from like 15-16% of running two tight end sets to like a third of the play calling was two tight ends on the field. And I mean, we saw that a lot last year, and I feel like we're going to see that a lot this year, probably even more, to be honest with you, because, you know, Kyle Rudolph is, you know, kind of on the downswing, and, you know, Irv Smith is good, but that duo is nothing compared to Hooper and Njoku. And he also ran a ton of two running back sets, and he also has Hunt and Chubb. So, I mean, you know, with looking at the pair of receivers, the pair of running backs, the pair of tight ends, I mean, Baker Mayfield is surrounded by talent, and I feel like Hooper is probably – his value is probably going to decrease, you know, to answer your question, because I think a lot of people aren't going to expect him to just kind of have that narrow target distribution like it was just, you know, him, Ridley, and, you know, and Julio. But it's just one of those where, I mean, the ball is going to get more spread out. I mean, the math is there that Hooper's just not going to quite dominate like he did last year. So I think ultimately he's not going to be as valuable, to put it that way. But I think people are still going to be, you know, reaching up for him, you know, in drafts to get him, which could be a mistake. But I just think that with the two tight ends being there, you also can't sleep on David Njoku either.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think people are going to draft Austin Hooper for the name, and that's somebody who you can just kind of stay away from. Marcus, Austin Hooper or Jonnu Smith?
Probably Hooper. Just I think there's going to be more passing volume in that Browns offense than there probably will be in the Titans offense. But, you know, I don't expect a huge upgrade for him. I think similar to what we talked about with Diggs and the Bills, right? Like, this is a good thing for the quarterback. This is good news for Baker Mayfield, that and the fact that they went out and they got themselves an offensive lineman too, right? They went out and tried to boost that offensive line. That was a problem last year. I think things are setting up for Baker Mayfield to maybe this is the year he turns into the guy we thought he would be last year, because last year was an abject disaster. But Hooper himself, I think his value stays fairly flat.
Yeah, you got to love what you could potentially get with Baker Mayfield as somebody who people aren't going to want to draft. I've seen it in every draft, dynasty, whatever, you know, and he falls, whatever that is, to where if he had the year that you thought he was going to have this year, you wouldn't be able to get him at that value. So you might as well take the chance, the way I see it. If you're drafting a quarterback late, you know, I think Baker Mayfield, this kind of solidifies, not just this move, but, you know, that, okay, there's still a chance that he could have a better year. We saw even last year at times, you know, with Kareem Hunt getting worked in there, it's huge for somebody like Baker Mayfield. He just has all these safety nets now that if he just utilizes them after, you know, a couple year, you know, 1 year really in this offense, you like to see it come together for Baker Mayfield. I like this from Austin Hooper. Yeah, I think that there's a chance, like if you draft Austin Hooper, you're going to be hoping for touchdowns there. I think that there's a good chance that he could end up with something like 8 touchdowns this year. And you're fine with that. You're really happy with that if he does that for you. And, you know, they have this offense where, you know, you have to guard multiple guys. Austin Hooper is a big target for Baker Mayfield in the back of the end zone. We saw him with a little bit with Njoku, that kind of chemistry. I think it was it Demetrius Harris? We saw that, you know, he likes throwing to the tight ends in the end zone. So I do see a good ceiling there for Hooper if you draft him as far as touchdowns go.
Yeah, this personnel makes a ton of sense for what I think these guys want to do. And I mean, they still have the 10th pick coming up too. And that's like prime spot to grab some offensive line help or even, help out the other side of the ball. So all good stuff coming up so far from the Browns.
Yeah, let's keep it on the tight ends real quick, Marcus. Blake Jarwin, are you interested, now that Jason Witten has been signed by the Raiders and Blake Jarwin signs his 3-year extension, the same amount, $24.5 million as Austin Eckler, by the way.
Yeah, which is kind of wild. I'd get in on Blake Jarwin. I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a nice pick to get, you know, late in draft sort of thing. I mean, it's wild. Jason Witten was the tight end 11 last year, which I think says more about the tight end position than it does necessarily about anything Jason Witten did. He's very good at catching the ball and falling forward for a couple of yards. I think Jarwin can do a little bit more than that. So I'd be willing to take a chance on him late in the draft, no doubt.
Yeah, Jason Witten and Mike Evans are the same in that, is that there's no yards after the catch. Like, they're both different as far as athletes, but they'll make that catch no matter how it is and just fall. And that's what he's going to do for you as a Raider. I don't know if that messes up Darren Waller's, fantasy value. I don't know what Gruden – I think Gruden, what he wants to do is he wants to be a run-first team. I think he's bringing in Jason Witten to just be a blocker. I mean, you know, he's going to use him a little bit, but you know, I think you can still comfortably draft Darren Waller, talking about that situation. Josh, are you into Blake Jarwin?
Yeah, man, I have Blake Jarwin on several Dynasty squads, and, I mean, this is a guy that I got for free off waivers. But every time – I've seen Jarwin play. I mean, he looks phenomenal. So, you know, I'm very impressed from what I've seen. They did extend him, like you mentioned. So, but the Raiders did the same thing with Waller. So I think Waller's going to be, you know, I don't think Witten's any threat to Waller, much like he's no longer a threat to Jarwin these days. But I love me some Blake Jarwin, man. Sign me up.
Marcus, I'm going to put you on the spot again with another this guy or that guy at the tight end position. I bet you didn't know that was going to happen today. Blake Jarwin or Hayden Hurst with the Atlanta Falcons? So Hayden Hurst was traded to the Atlanta Falcons.
I'd probably go Hurst, just seeing what Hooper was able to do last year. And Hayden Hurst was a guy that I really loved before in Baltimore. Just the Ravens – let's make this joke topical. The Ravens have hoarded tight ends like people with toilet paper. I mean, it's just they had so many of them. But now that he's out of there, he doesn't have to contend with Mark Andrews or anybody else there. I think I like Hayden Hurst in Atlanta this year.
Yeah, you gotta like that role there, where I think that both of these guys actually can get, you know, when they have the ball in space, they can really be good downfield runners. Josh, I'll just toss up to you real quick: Blake Jarwin or Hayden Hurst.
I still like Jarwin personally, but I like Hurst. He's a great fiery player. We saw during the postseason last year, he was screaming, you know, at them to throw him the ball. And, you know, you got to love a guy that wants to get the ball, man.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that Blake Jarwin definitely has – I don't know. It seems like, you got to like the role that he's in. But both of these guys, you know, are good just late round or late draft dart throws at the tight end position that I think can really, can pay off. So real quick, Marcus, I want to get your opinion on Robbie Anderson. And Josh, I need to hear what you think, because I like where your head's at. So Robbie Anderson is probably the hottest free agent out there right now as far as the wide receiver. It's going to be tricky for the Jets to bring him back. I think they want to, but it's just, I don't know if it's going to work out. Where are you seeing, how are you seeing this play out, Marcus?
I want to cheat a little bit because you did send me the rundown of this whole thing. I know that the talk of him going to Green Bay has been popular. I sort of like that. I had originally thought maybe the Eagles or somebody like that, but the more I hear them, the more people talk about Green Bay, I think I've started to fall in love with that idea, just knowing that they need somebody to help out Devontae Adams. And I think Robbie Anderson, regardless of where he goes, he's never going to be a team's number one option. At least I don't think he's going to succeed as such. But he can go to Green Bay. He can be the number two option aside from Devontae Adams and really excel in that situation. So I think that's a good spot for him.
Josh, same question, man. I know that you're a fan to him to Green Bay as well.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about him as a best ball darling, I believe, last week. And yes. I know that him and the Jets were discussing a contract. I mean, they still have plenty of cash, so they could definitely, you know, pay a little more or maybe match someone else's offer. But, yeah, Green Bay, please. I mean, it gives them a deep threat to really open it up for Adams to work the outside and underneath. And, I mean, we've seen Robbie Anderson. I mean, he can really take the top off of defense. So if I had to pick – yeah, I would love to see him either in Vegas or Green Bay, but he could definitely re-sign with New York.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, what's not to love there in Green Bay? We've seen Aaron Rodgers for years be able to, you know, make two wide receivers relevant. You have to like that for fantasy. Yeah, the Eagles, I think, makes a lot of sense. You know, they don't really have, you know, after Alshon Jeffrey, who just seems to be banged up all the time. I mean, they don't really have a lot of talent at that position. Of course, you have DeSean Jackson, but, you know, you really have to, you know, kind of have some insurance with these guys who are always banged up. So, yeah, the Eagles, if he ends up an Eagle, I would love Robbie Anderson's fantasy value. I think that's a great situation. I might like that a little bit more actually than the Raiders, even with Jackson and Jeffrey there. You have to imagine that one of those guys is going to miss time for whatever. I mean, the odds are just there, to be honest, with Alshon and D-Jax. You hate to see it, but it's just the reality of situations. Emmanuel Sanders is actually getting some interest from the Cowboys, Josh. Would you be excited about that for fantasy? Like, I don't know. They just signed Amari. They were going to get Emmanuel Sanders. I don't know if there's any real juice behind that. Doesn't seem to make sense for me. And then I don't think it's great from a fantasy perspective. Are you kind of in the same boat there for Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah, it just, you know, with Randall Cobb leaving, you know, obviously Bill O'Brien wants to fill those huge shoes with Randall Cobb. But it's, you know, that creates the opening, you know, for Cobb or from Cobb's departure for them to put in somebody like a Manny Sanders. I don't see how they'd be able to afford Manny Sanders after shelling out the money they did on Dak and Amari. So I think he's probably going back to San Fran. But I do think he'd be a great fit for like Vegas or even the Patriots, you know, maybe the Colts as a dark horse, but I think, you know, like a Patriots signing makes a ton of sense to me.
You know, I think the Texans, man, what if the Texans could pull the trigger and get somebody, that would be, that's not a Bill O'Brien move.
No, it's not.
They wouldn't go out and get Manny Sanders. I mean, that would be perfect for Deshaun Watson. If you put in somebody like Emmanuel Sanders, it's not going to make up for Hopkins, but at least with Fuller out there, Kenny Stills, you have somebody that is a reliable fit. I would love Emmanuel Sanders in Houston. Any of these free agent receivers that we have on the dock that you want to talk about, Marcus?
Breshad Perriman is sort of interesting. I don't know if that he fits anywhere outside of Tampa. He seemed to like walk into a really good situation in the last year with both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin getting hurt. I don't know that, you know, that situation just opens itself up again. I will say quickly on Manny Sanders, I do think he goes back to San Francisco, and the Niners having made this trade and getting they have like a top 15 pick now. I think they're actually at 13 right now. They could legitimately get themselves another receiver, right? So you have the possibility of, say, a Manny Sanders out there with Deebo Samuel. And, you know, if they get Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, right, somebody like that, suddenly, I mean, that offense was pretty good at the end of last year. Now they're almost terrifying.
Oh, man, Kyle Shanahan would love him some Ruggs just to have that sort of player in his offense. Oh, yeah, no, I would love Ruggs in San Francisco. Yeah, I think that he needs to get into a situation, obviously, where his skill set can be utilized, and that makes a lot of sense. Also, Chicago, I mean, I wouldn't want to see that if you're a Henry Ruggs fan. You know, this guy obviously can fly and can be a gadget guy, you know, he kind of fills that role of Taylor Gabriel for Matt Nagy. I think Matt Nagy would be somebody who definitely Henry Rux is on his radar. All right, Marcus. Hey, thanks for coming on the show, man. You know, we just got through all the free agents. Josh, I didn't think we were going to get through all of these. We really hit a good portion. We didn't touch on Philip Rivers as a Colt. We'll get to that next week. Also, we'll touch on the Cam Newton situation. It looks like the Panthers kind of proposed a trade. They're ready to move on from Cam, it seems. So we'll see what's going on with that. But Marcus, before you get out of here, man, we need to ask you one RB sleeper for 2020. And look, if you're listening to the show, if you listen every week, a sleeper doesn't really mean anything to you, but someone that we really can like get some value out of in the 2020 redraft.
Well, I mean, I kind of talked about him before. I'm going to go with David Johnson. And again, it is all about him being healthy, right? But the opportunity is going to be there. You know, he's going to be back there with an outstanding quarterback in Deshaun Watson. If Will Fuller can stay healthy, I know I'm throwing out a whole lot of ifs right now, but to keep those guys on the field and Johnson being able to be a receiver, to line up in different places, I think there's the potential for him as a guy who's going to, you know, he's going to fall into the fourth or fifth round to maybe bring you back the kind of value that exceeds what his draft price is.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, David Johnson has, you know, a season with 80 catches in his career, you know, wanted to be a 1,000 guy. And a lot of people thought he could be that guy. So, you know, there is potential here. Josh, we talk about it all the time, right? The running quarterback, you give me the starting running back for, you know, a Deshaun Watson led offense. I'm all about it. So it's there on paper and it really can work. You can get a great guy. I kind of compare him to Matt Forte, how when Matt Forte went to the Jets, I think that he was that fringe because he had just been a star for the Bears, right? And he was that fringe, like fourth, fifth round guy who at the beginning of the year, it really paid off. So he could be somebody like that.
Yeah, that's a great comparison, man. And when I mentioned he's probably going to fall into like that bucket of the, you know, fourth round value running backs. You know, I'm totally on board with what Marcus said. And, you know, I know you're pretty much crapped all over Bill O'Brien on this episode, but the one positive that he does have going in his favor, DJ, that is, you know, Bill O'Brien still values having a good running back very highly. I mean, it's very evident after, you know, some of this draft capital he keeps trading away. And, you know, to even if this ends up being short term, I mean, he does have tremendous upside if he can stay healthy, of course. So it's definitely a situation where he's going to get, you know, a major workload if he can stay on the field. So we do have that to look forward to. And, you know, lucky for us, we don't have to spend a, you know, mid to late first round pick to find out if that's going to happen this season.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're a David Johnson truther, all you really have to say is Carlos Hyde. I mean, if you're defending David Johnson, just say Carlos Hyde. And someone will have to look up what Carlos Hyde did just last season. So, Marcus, thanks again for being on the show, man. Tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter real quick, and then what sort of content you have for them coming up for the next couple of weeks now that the schedule obviously has changed.
Yeah, well, I'm on Twitter at Marcus G, MarcasG, so you can find me there. Yeah, content-wise, we're still – for the time being, doing a podcast. It's coming out once a week. Our schedule is still sort of in flux with that, but we'll have something really soon there. Other than that, we're just trying to figure some things out. I don't know when you guys plan on releasing this, but we're in the process. We're talking about doing some virtual game nights, where now that Game Pass is free from the NFL, I think through the end of May, basically just picking a game a week and having kind of a virtual game night. Everybody kind of watches along and we'll tweet and we can all just have a good time since we're all sort of missing live sports. This is the closest we can get. So we are hoping to do one on Thursday night. And if it's successful, we'll probably try to do one once a week. So stay tuned for that.
Oh, I'm into that. I'll be tuning in and participating when they play the Broncos-Cowboys game from a couple years ago with Romo and Peyton Manning.
Oh, that one was bananas. I remember that game.
That was a good game. That's one I'll be in. Guys, please listen to all of Marcus's content, one of the best in the business. And, of course, follow my guy, Josh Daly, at Josh Daly 72 on Twitter. You can follow me at FFProfessorST3. We got a lot of great content coming for you every week. Stay safe out there, everybody. Thanks for listening. My name is Stephen Tironi. This has been the Hot Take Podcast.